Welcome back to the program. Let's begin this morning on line number two. Say good morning to the province of seniors advocate. That's Susan Walsh. And good morning, Susan. You're on the air.
Good morning, Patty. I hope you don't feel as bad as you sound.
See, that's terrible. I thought that I probably didn't sound too bad, but apparently, given the dozen emails, apparently I do. But
you don't sound great, no.
Uh-oh. Well, I feel a bit better than I sound, so that's the good news.
Oh, good.
All right, let's dig into it. So I'll just, you know, from 100,000 feet above sea level, say that I'm glad the report is out, but I'm a little underwhelmed with the details or the vagaries included, because the topics themselves, and I will admit, I haven't read the entirety of the 200-plus pages, but I have given it enough scan to think that I was expecting more, similar to the review into the Mercy Shelter business. It sounds like a lot of blatantly obvious as opposed to actual solutions. Your thought?
Well, I, in the first instance, I have to say I am really pleased the report is finally out as well.
Me too.
And I'm glad that, you know, government did commit to doing it upon the call of our office, and that we now have it in our hands. I guess I understand your comments, because the recommendations are very high level. They're not as specific as, you know, we might like in terms of really holding people to account. But which is why I am saying and I know the government has now come out and said, minister has come out and said, yep, they're accepting all the recommendations. They've accepted the report. I'm really pleased about all that. I'm hopeful they are also accepting all the action items, because when you get inside the report, it's the true work in terms of what specifically needs to change is really in the action items. And, you know, the report is written in such a way that the recommendation isn't the action item. So, you know, hopefully, though, it's not just going to be information to inform government. They're going to take it as, yeah, and this is what does actually need to be done, not a suggestion, if you know what I mean.
I do. I'll also add, and this is just my perspective, you needn't even react. You know, when the government says we accept and we'll work towards implementation, that's great, but it reminds me of all these Auditor General reports. In addition to that, I don't think we should be talking about, well, here's what the government of the day has done for seniors. Because it's one thing to talk about the population at large, but when we talk about being, and I use the word institution, and hopefully people get where I'm coming from, it's a different approach. It's a different kettle of fish. You're ultimately in the care of the province. So talking about seniors' benefits at large is not the same thing.
No, you're absolutely right. It's not. And it's, you know, it is a little disingenuous to be talking about, you know, some of the newer programs that they've put out in the last year, which, great, I'm glad they have. But this is an issue that's been around an awfully long time. And it's no different, I agree with you, than, you know, monitoring of group homes for children in care. I mean, these except for one, every single long-term care facility in this province is owned, operated, run by the provincial government, mm-hmm. except for a couple of faith-based ones. But still, government is responsible for them and for ensuring, you know, that the faith-based groups are doing what's appropriate in terms of the care. And we know the care hasn't been near adequate. Forget adequate. It's not even near adequate. So, yeah, I agree with you. The discussion should not be on, oh, look at all the other things we've done. No, the discussion needs to be specifically on, you had this report, we know, at least since November. We know that there are action items inside of this in terms of what needs to be done. Where's the roadmap? Now we need the implementation plan, and we need to know that government is committed to starting it when. What is the date that we can expect to see that these changes are going to be started? Not a, I agree with you, this is not like the AG's report where they can say, yes, we'll accept them whenever we get to it. We need to know the date that these, we actually need to see, and I think it needs to be made public, and that, okay, here's all the recommendations, here's the action items, and here's the time frames that we're going to do it. And I appreciate that some of it's going to take time. I mean, my God, Patty, the infrastructure. I mean, when you look at some of the information in here about, you know, the greatest majority of the facilities are over 30 years old, and that many of those, I think the number was something like 22 of the 30 that are over 30 years old, something like that. Basically, they could break, that infrastructure could break down on any given day, and really people might not be able to continue to live there if they can't get the parts, if they can't do the fix. I mean, there's a lot inside of this that kind of says, holy cow, this is way bigger than what we all had even understood.
Timelines, specific timelines are important. You cannot measure success unless you give yourself benchmarks to achieve, thresholds to tick off. I know why government doesn't do it, because then they can be held to account with specific dates that they put forward. Maybe they can or cannot achieve them. Let's get into some specifics. It's interesting how the story is reported. Let's talk about the use of restraints and the potential for inappropriate use of antipsychotic medications. And one of the sentences in that paragraph says, a key concern highlighted by the seniors advocate Susan Walsh in December. I beg to differ. We've been talking about this for a long time. It precedes December by a long time. So
thank you.
I do owe the report a little bit more of a deeper dive and a real careful evaluation. But walk us through, have they identified anything here as to why that is the way it is? They can point to the fact that we're above national average and quality of life and all those things. But restraints, it's visually disheartening for the family. For the resident, they might be totally not really knowing what's going on. Same thing with antipsychotic medications. Do we have a better understanding today than we did before we read the report?
I think this report does a very good job of reflecting what people have been saying for a very long time. I am hopeful that what people, you know, the public, the people who, you know, have had loved ones or do have loved ones living in these facilities will see is that, yeah, they heard us. But there is no deep dive into why they're from a restraint perspective. No, there's no discussion on what's causing this overuse of restraints. What's the impetus? Except that we know in a separate section that that they're understaffed, that the morale is so low. I mean, there's hardly a pass on any single factor they looked at in this report. I mean, 6 out of 10 is the highest in most of the factors. So, we can make the inference why there's restraint use, but no, they've not done an analysis of the causes or why we are where we are. They've just reflected what everyone already knew in terms of the issues. For me, that's somewhat important, because now at least, we've got an external body besides my office who are also saying we're in a mess here, and that are basically now saying, okay, and so here's how to fix it. The in-between, no, it's not there.
It isn't. Okay. Let's move on to a couple of other areas, and one that has been really extremely emotional for residents and families alike is the separation of couples with different requirements of levels of care. I refer back to Nova Scotia, but basically, and sometimes maybe I unfairly say that because Nova Scotia hasn't figured it out in full. They just make a concerted effort to have the facilities as close by each other, proximity speaking, so that they can reduce the stress. Sometimes they're able to overcome it, but that one seems to be even a little bit bigger than trying to look, not to diminish the staff's concerns, but staffing work-life balance. Imagine comparing that or contrasting that to one of the partners, husband or wife, thinks that their partner for 67 years has left them and they don't know what's going on. And we just treat it as if it's a logistical issue. It's bigger than that.
Absolutely. And I agree with your comment about the Nova Scotia model. I'm not sure that it exactly gets us where we need to be. I don't think it does. They have that legislation, but it's not really meaning the person has to be on site. It's such a sad issue. And interestingly enough, in this report, they did look at the data on it. We're not talking about huge numbers either to be accommodated, right? It was 12%. I don't have it opened, but it was that needed to have that ability to have their loved one with them. So, it's not like it's going to overwhelm the system, is my point. And so I like inside this report that even though they mightn't have analyzed how we got to where we are or that kind of thing, they have given best practice approaches. They have given what other provinces, and they've kept them Canadian, which I think is relevant, models that could be used. And so, to me, this is just one example where they've done that, but there are many others throughout the report. And so to me, the solutions are there. Government doesn't need to spend, years, even months, navel-gazing on this one. I mean, they have offered in this report, here's the best practice models that you should have available to you to implement. So, and there are some things there about, models where you might have adjoining rooms for couples, that, you know, that kind of thing, so that the couple does get maintained together. And I also like in the report that it talks about, in the first instance, what resources are we putting into people's homes to enable the person not to even have to leave the family home, so that they can remain together. So I like they've tried in some of this, which was a challenge of mine to the expert panel. I said, like, I know this is a review of long-term care and personal care, but I really hope you look at the community aspect and how we're supporting the residents in these facilities to continue to have access and community, and have some of these centers be a hub of support to the community, right? Because we know we're never going to be able to have some of these large centers where, you know, there's day programs for persons with dementias and all that in every community in the province, but if they could have access to these facilities for that. And so they've done a little bit of that.
No, I understand the stuffed up business. Last one before I let you go, and this one is actually included in the health accord. I brought it to Dr. Pat Parfrey when we spoke to him last week, maybe the week before, here on this program. So you talk about timelines. The health accord is very definitively a 10-year roadmap. And one of the recommendations, which I think is key to this conversation, is the establishment of an independent body to monitor and enforce the standards. Now, the standards aren't quite 100% clear, but that independent body, because sometimes families are loath to go to facility management for fear of, I'll call it retribution, even though that might be overstating it, but that's the fear that's baked into people's worries here. So an independent body would remove that. You know, you could make your comments, concerns, questions, or, you know, file whatever issue in front of an independent body, and maybe withhold names, because what happens to your loved one might happen to another loved one in the next room, might happen to another loved one 5 years down the road. So there's no wiggle room on this independent body. How important do you think it is?
Critical. It's absolutely critical. And I tell you, Patty, for me, the governance section of this report is almost the most critical aspect of this, because, you know, because much of what's in here we already knew. Government themselves have said, like, they're already working on some of this stuff. So, like, they've been advancing some fixes to the system. For me, it's about who is going to hold government to account to ensure that, you know, regardless of a change in government, if it were ever to occur, regardless of change in minister or leadership at all, that there's another body out there that's doing a few things. So one of it is about, yes, being available to the community, to families, to, you know, for complaints. But it's also bigger than that. I would like to see that government implement now legislation that would govern long-term care and personal care, and truly the whole continuum. And many provinces have them, and many provinces are in their second iteration of this type of legislation. So we don't have to recreate the wheel here. The health accord called for the legislation, and it was supposed to be a year 2/3 initiative. So really, we should have that legislation ready to bring into the House. Like, there's no reason that when the House opens this spring, that shouldn't be ready to be on. I know the spring is not normally a legislative session, but it can be done. It can be done if the will is there. Seconders, then once that legislation is in place, all those operational standards that are, you know, 10 plus years old, 20 plus years old in some cases in this province, need to be updated, and all these organizations that are running these facilities, including government, then know what they are responsible to achieve, and, you know, timelines for all of this. And then this external body needs to be responsible for the oversight of all of that. And that needs to be baked right into the legislation, that this oversight body will have teeth, because it's in the legislation that they monitor that these standards are being met, these, you know, operational standards I'm talking about, that they are able to do investigations where they are not, that they're the body that goes in unannounced to all these facilities and does reviews of them regularly, whether in the report it calls for annual once and twice a year, depending on the facility, and that they can increase these reviews, investigations and reviews, if they feel that the facility is not keeping up with standards. I mean, this is happening in other provinces. This is not, you know, this is not the leading edge or anything. This is just catching up with half-decent practice. So that's what I'd like to see, and then that external body is available to the public, because I know the stories I hear. Like, I can tell you, so I know they will hear them as well.
Susan, I always appreciate your time. Is there any final thoughts you'd like to leave us with this morning?
Yeah. Listen, first and foremost, thank you for reaching out, because I'm always pleased to talk about this, because it's so critical. I really hope that we will hear very soon that government had the report since November, so they already have figured out their game plan. They have their implementation plan developed. They know their years, they know their months, and that they're putting it out publicly for us to see. That's what we should all be asking for.
I always appreciate your time, Susan. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Patty. Take care.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Susan Walsh of the Provinces, Seniors Advocate. Let's take a break. Don't go away.